I am on the line right now with Canadian rock icon and keyboardist Sam Reid from the legendary group Glass Tiger. Tansay, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven, Sam.
That's great. Thanks, Bill. It's great to connect, and we're excited to head towards your way for this excellent concert.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right into it. Let's talk Thin Red Line. This album, monster in Canada. Diamond Sun, great follow-up as well, seeing great success. Landed you guys an armful of Junos and even did well in the U.S., which is a tougher nut to crack. Did you guys ever think that you would see this success that you did with this album?
Well, the Thin Red Line first release was a total surprise. We had nothing, no reference point, because we were basically a bar band for about 5 years before recording that album. So we had nothing, you know, nothing to kind of prepare us for that. And then when the album took off, of course, we were delighted, but it was certainly set the wheels in motion. And then we followed it up with Diamond Sun and Simple Mission thereafter. And 35 years later, we're still on the road. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Jim Vallance, this is the second time in a week his name has come up. I was talking with Al from Prism, powerhouse songwriting machine. I know Brian Adams made an appearance on Don't Forget Me, but did that come through Jim somehow? And how pivotal was Jim to the Thin Red Line album as a producer and also a co-writer?
Well, we were originally sent, we got to meet Jim through the record label, Capitol Records. When they signed the band, they loved all of our music, and they, as a lot of record companies do, they felt like we just needed one more song for the record. So they came up with the idea of sending Alan and myself and Al out to Vancouver to write with this gentleman named Jim Vallance. And of course, you don't have to dig far to know that this guy is a hit maker, and all of the Brian Adams and Heart and Scorpions and you know, you name it, just hit after hit. So we flew out there as kids, really, and got to work with Jim. And within the first day, we wrote Don't Forget Me, and we wrote Someday in the same day, and came home with those. And then that blossomed into a production deal. We worked so well with Jim that we were like, you know, would you produce the record? And we were delighted, and he produced the first two albums and Diamond Sun as well, and co-wrote a lot of stuff with us. So, but getting Brian... Brian heard about the project, of course, because Brian would come over to Jim's house and say, hey, play me some of that stuff you're working on. And it just as a lark, basically. Brian was in Toronto for the Junos and said, hey, you know what, I'll pop by the studio. And then Alan and him got together on the microphone, and the rest is history.
Yeah, like it all fell together. The pieces all fell into place, which is awesome. Let's go back to the, you know, you guys were 80s rockers, and you guys at that time were, for lack of a better word, we're going to say heartthrobs, I think. And I have to say that not only did Shannon from our morning show, she had a huge crush on you. She even met you on one of her stations she worked at back a few years ago. But even Sean Burke on our sister station, he mentions to me yesterday, he's like, oh man, his free-flowing hair and his dreamy eyes. And Sean's happily married. So just know that you're still making an impact.
Well, that's fine. And my hair's short now. So, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year. So that's a few years back. But we certainly, I was a young man when we started. I was barely 19 when the band got signed. So, you know, it's a lot of years there. And of course, we had much music to thank, MTV and much music back in those days, which certainly played into the fact that not only could people hear your music, but they got to see your mug on TV as well. So you got a chance. You had to kind of look good on camera as well as play your instrument.
Yeah, and I feel that in that time, you know, I think you guys were one of the few bands in Canada that would be in like the Tiger Beat and the Teen Beep, the Teeny Bopper magazines that were all like, you know, back then. So were you guys ready for, you know, to be pinned up on the mirrors of Teeny Boppers around the continent at that time? Or did it just kind of hit you by surprise?
Well, it's completely by surprise. And again, we have no reference point, other than we were fans of other bands. And we, you know, once it hit for us, we were like, oh, okay, so this is a taste of, you know, what that's like when you walk out your door or you go somewhere. And certainly we had lots of fans would come to the tour bus, and you know, we were doing in stores and record stores, radio stations, contests. And so you learn right away that, you know, it's a very... a very demanding schedule back in those days where you had to be in so many places at the same time, and there's nothing that can prepare you for that. You just kind of let it roll, and and enjoy it because it's, you know, it doesn't last forever. So we were delighted and still delighted that we're together. Now we look out in the audience and we're watching people mouth along with the song and sing the lyrics. And we realize after talking to people that, you know, the music has stayed with them and gives them a lot of fond memories of different times in their lives when they remember those songs on the radio.
Yeah. Like, and speaking of that, the audiences, you know, you must be seeing younger faces who have, I guess, rediscovered the catalog from their parents now, hey, and singing along to the songs?
Well, we do. I mean, when we go out and we sign some autographs or whatever, we often, you know, kind of peruse the people there. And some people you think, okay, you cannot be old enough to have been there the first round. So, you know, and they'll admit, they'll say, oh, yeah, I grew up listening to you guys because of my mom and dad. And I love the 80s music. I love you guys and other music like that. So and then other people will just say, listen, I just love the 80s music and we found you guys. We sort of decided as a band that we'll draw the line when somebody comes up and says, my granny thinks you're hot.
That's awesome. And, you know, you guys have played some of these tunes. It must be 100 times a year. Do you ever get tired of playing Someday or Don't Forget Me? Or do you appreciate the fact that these songs are so important to so many people who came up listening in that era?
Well, I'll tell you, it all comes down to the audience. And the one perspective that we got during COVID, of course, when all of the concerts were canceled, and as well as everything else in life, there definitely, you know, we realized that how much we missed the audience. And we fought this for a while about doing a virtual concert. A lot of bands were doing concerts from their living room or concerts mm-hmm. from different venues. And finally, near the end of, or the middle towards the end of COVID, we agreed to do a show from the Alma Combo here in Toronto. And it was just us in the room with a bunch of cameras. And afterwards, I said to our manager, boy, you take the audience away and there's no reason for us to be in that room.
Yeah.
it just didn't feel right. And playing those songs, we realized that it's the audience reaction that makes us feel good about playing them. So there you go.
Yeah, and now we're back to normality, so things are a lot better. When you look at your members' timeline, you know, many of the bands from the 80s and late 70s, you know, they see this flux of members come and go. But Glass Tiger, your lineup has remained fairly intact with original members for the most part. Is there a key or any pointers other bands can take away when it comes to longevity and keeping a band together for so long?
Well, you know, when we were young, everybody jockeys for a position in the band, you know, when you're kind of in the early stages, and not so much you've already established you're the keyboard player or you're the singer or you're the guitar player, but a lot of things around the business, like who's going to do media, who's going to do, do this and that. And sometimes bands take a while to settle into these roles. And we got that all out of our system. And as we get older, the one thing I think that's kept us, kind of on the same path is that we do not sweat any small stuff at all. Like we're not trying to carve out a new band. We're not all jockeying for positions anymore. We're very, very happy with and have great respect for everyone that we work with. And we're good pals. Like we honestly, years ago, we used to do some media stuff and they were all looking for dirt, like who fights with who. And we're like, no, actually we hang out. You know, yeah. When we get there tomorrow, I guarantee you we'll sit and we'll go and we'll have lunch together, we'll have dinner together, and we'll hang out. And we've done that for almost 40 years, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, it's great to see. We're looking forward to seeing you guys play tonight. Once again, hanging out with Sam Reed from the Canadian rock group Glass Tiger. They're playing Rock the District tonight down in the Ice District. Thanks for taking the time to chat, Sam. And thanks for the tunes of my adolescence. And we can't wait to see you at Rock the District tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to getting back to Edmonton. It's wonderful. We're gonna rock, and it's a great weekend. Sounds like a great bunch of lineup, and can't wait to get there and play these songs.